America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We're just being smart about how we manage them, but I could extend that conversation to a lot of discussions, to be quite honest with you. We divide the labor up week in and week out between the Landon Roberts and Peyton Wilson, for example, opposite of Patrick Queen. Patrick Queen is our every down green dot, and so he plays just about in all circumstances, and some players do that, but most players, particularly in today's game, that have specialized skill sets, that play positions like receiver, they don't play every down. They're or like rushman, they don't play every down because you need them in significant moments. You need them at the back half of the season. You need them in the second half of football games and those weighty downs. And so it's really just a 2024 discussion regarding load management. I don't know what messaging you're talking about regarding his eye black. I didn't have any outline issue with his effort. As I mentioned after the game, I think someone asked about a reduction in his total number of snaps. That's just a snap management thing and an effort to be more productive. In today's game, regarding analytics, we do it across a lot of positions, particularly when you look at the totality of a 17-game schedule. I'd imagine Cam Hayward, for example, is playing less snaps than he has. Just trying to grow and trying to get optimum productivity among some individuals and going about the best means of doing so. And so that's probably a reflection of the snap totality of last week.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Figured we'd be talking about Justin Fields v. Russell Wilson today prior to that press conference yesterday because, well, it's the Steelers. It's the most important position in sports. And there's a lot of balls in that air. Ah, poor phrasing. But we got to talk about George Pickens because I think Mike Tomlin did the right thing there and the wrong thing there. He did the right thing by playing dumb regarding the eye black, by saying that the Jordan Lewis face mask deal at the end of the game is something that he would address. He didn't put his player on blast. He didn't make a bad situation worse, and that's what a leader does. Why I think he kind of did it the wrong way is he made himself kind of sound stupid there. Or the organization kind of look funky, Doran. Analytics, load management, NBA-style stuff. It would make sense if you looked at the roster and you looked at the snap counts game by game and you could see them pulling back on the reins for a lot of guys. We are not seeing that. And then to liken George Pickens to your 35-year-old three-time All-Pro defensive lineman is a stretch so far that even the most remedial of football fans, they're not going to buy that nonsense. So I respect Tomlin for not throwing his guy under the bus. I don't think that would be beneficial to him. I don't think it would help George Pickens. I don't think you motivate that guy that way. But you could have dismissed it in a way where you don't look like such a boob.
I've never heard of really load management in football, and especially from Mike Tomlin, who is, you know, harps on being a physical football team, and especially if you do think that there's load management in NFL football, it wouldn't be for wide receivers that are in year, what, three?
Yep.
Year three? Wide receivers? Load management? I've never heard of such a thing because it's not real. It's not real. Like, the situation is that something happened, and he doesn't want to give the media and tell everybody the secrets that are inside the locker room, which I agree with.
That's like, fine.
That's totally fine. But you don't need to give the secrets. You can tell what's happening, though.
I'm addressing things with George in private. We're never going to discuss it in a public forum. Bang, done.
Exactly. Load management? And what are you load managing for? Whenever there's load management, it's like, okay, in basketball, we're going to load manage LeBron because we're going to make the playoffs because we need LeBron down the stretch because LeBron is 67 years old. We're going to load manage Joel Embiid because he's 7'9" and he gets banged up every single night, and we're going to make the playoffs because we're a good team. We understand that if we need him down the stretch. George Pickens? Najee Harris, I can even understand.
Yeah, sure, that happens. Running backs happens, for sure.
Anybody in the trenches, I can understand.
Yeah, rotate defensive linemen, we see that all the time.
So if he really wanted to load manage, why did he not load manage George Pickens in practice like he does with veterans? Why didn't he get a veteran day off? Why didn't he get a day off for load management? That's the load management. That's the first process of that, is having days off during the week, and then in the game, you'll be fresh to go. So this whole load management during a game thing is not... It's not equating to me.
No, and if they were really managing his load, you've got Van Jefferson, you've got Scotty Miller, you've got Calvin Austin III. He played fewer snaps than all of those guys. If they did it for the reason Mike Tomlin said, I think I'd be more mad about that than I would be about George Pickens getting benched because he's got a lack of effort. Like, if their analytics department is telling them, which is such a crock of crap because he's not a guy who believes in analytics. If he did, he wouldn't be punting it when it's 4th-and-8 at midfield against the Browns in a playoff game. Not to be critical. He would use his timeouts better if he understood clock management, understood the analytical side of things. He would go for some fourth downs more frequently. He would have kicked the 58-yard field goal against the Colts on the first drive of the game, just to name a few. So he doesn't believe in analytics. If he did, though, and they were telling him, your best path to victory against the Dallas Cowboys with the entire country watching is to play Van Jefferson more snaps than George Pickens, then you should fire your entire analytics department. It's not like you've got Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant and who was the third wide receiver? Eli Rogers.
Yep. Like, Mike Wallace.
You don't have a bevy of wide receivers here where, boy, we don't want Pickens to hit a wall, so we're going to play these guys and we're going to be thoughtful about this. We need our guys fresh down the stretch. It's not like they're 8-0 and you know you're going to make the playoffs. So it's really dumb. It would be really dumb if that were what they're doing. That's not really what they're doing. Either way, the whole thing's stupid.
So basically you were telling everybody that game wasn't important because the path to victory, the first how many games that you did win, was to throw the ball to George or have him be out there to be effective in a way. So you're saying that this game, like whenever there is low management, I keep coming back to this, like, that means that you're willing to give up a game because you have so many games that you have to play that season. That doesn't happen in football. Every game is important. There's no load management.
No.
Did Antonio Brown ever get load managed?
He sure didn't. Antonio Brown, for all of his woes, ran every route at 100%. Would block. Wanted to help the team win. Knew that if he busted his hump, and that guy worked hard. As hard as anybody I'd ever seen.
Ever seen.
So when he wasn't getting the ball, he would bitch, he'd moan, he'd complain, but he would work to get open to get the ball. George didn't, and that's why he played fewer snaps. Point blank, period. That's what happened. Now, Tomlin's not going to come out and say it, but Tomlin is a very, very smart guy. Tomlin is a great speaker. Tomlin always knows what the reaction to his words are going to be, which makes this whole explanation so perplexing to me. That's the best you could come up with?
Yeah.
Load management? And then Chris Carter pushed him on it, who we have on every Friday from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And Carter said, yeah, you look at the film and it looks like he's not running hard. Is that part of the load management? And Tomlin said yes. So what now, coach? You're telling George Pickens, we're gonna take you off the field. Like, Van Jefferson's going to play 15, 20 more snaps than you. And when you are out there and you're not the primary target, go out, feel free to just jog through it.
What? What?
Crowley, Doran, we know you guys had a really long Sunday night with this delay, and you got to turn around and do it in the morning. You guys just want to alternate segments?
Yeah.
We'll
play sound the whole time.
Yeah. Doran, you do the first segment. Crowley, you do the second segment. Third segment, we'll play Tomlin's entire press conference. Like, what are we doing here?
This is ridiculous.
Again, not upset with Tomlin for not crushing his player in a public forum. I would have ripped him if he did that. That would have been the wrong way to go. That's not going to help the situation. But to explain it away with load management is one of the more laughable things that I've ever heard come out of Mike Tomlin's mouth. And he thinks we're dumb. And in some instances, we are. The general we, the talking media who didn't play, the fans who didn't play. Yeah, sometimes we can be dumb. There's stuff we miss. We ain't this dumb. I wonder if Tomlin is yucking it up with some of the guys. Oh, load management, hurt. But you're right, man. If they were managing his load, which we've said load now an awful lot of times here, he wouldn't have practiced on Wednesday. Vet day off.
The thing that makes me so upset is this right here. The tweet that we just got. Why would he need to playmate to Pittsburgh media, Doran and Crowley? He doesn't care what you guys think, blah, blah, blah. We're not saying to playmate to the media. But whenever you go in there and you use the word speculative about 1,000 times during your press conference, why do you think that people speculate on certain things is because you don't end the speculation. You throw gas on the speculation, Mike Tomlin. Every single time. When people ask you a question, a follow-up, whether it's week to week, whether it's Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, or George Pickens, you have an opportunity right there to cut the circulation of the speculation.
Oh.
You do. And he doesn't do it. He feeds it. And then that's why the questions get asked even more. And then whenever you say things like load management, the speculation is going to grow. So, like, he doesn't need to tell us anything. All he has to do is say, we're going to handle that in-house.
Yeah, he was trying to keep this from going nuclear, but it was such a BS, nonsense answer that it has fueled the fire. All he needs to do, he could have done something that Mike Tomlin says he doesn't like to do. He could have spoken in hypotheticals, and he could have said, when asked the first question about Pickens, if we have issues with any player, these issues are never addressed in a public forum.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's a follow-up question, are you then saying that you have addressed this kind of stuff with George Pickens? The answer would be, if I did, I wouldn't address it in this forum.
Right.
He's had answers like that before.
And then it'd be done.
Yes. And we would talk about it. It'd be a segment or two.
Right, for us, but we're not. He's not going to get those questions, you wouldn't think, if you just end it.
Right. Because I think half the questions just about, or, you know, a third of the questions were about George friggin' Pickens. And they wouldn't have been if first answer, short, sweet, curt. Second answer, more of a jackass. Third answer, now I'm going with the real brevity, Brooke Pryor. You ain't getting more than three probably then at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we're going through this, and I try to get in Mike Tomlin's head, I'm wondering if he wanted us talking about the merits of load management instead of the Pickens stuff. But even then, buddy, we got room for both.
Oh, yeah, we do. We could break it down as we just did.
We got 4 hours here.
Call the bluff.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Load management.
And then the eye black.
Oh, we'll get to the eye black.
Uh-huh.
He pretended that he didn't know about the eye black. Do you think he didn't know about the eye black?
He knew about the eye black.
Didn't I tell you to put the balm on?
How do you not know about the eye black?
You even said at pre-show we were talking, like, you don't think he's dapping him up and looking right in his eyes?
Yeah,
and
like, he's going through the locker room, watching, you know, guys are sitting in their locker, listening to their had their headphones on. He's looking at everybody, seeing if everybody's ready. Oh, he didn't see that?
I'm sure you've had coaches like this, and I think Tomlin is this kind of guy. He wants to look in the eyes of every one of his 53.
100%.
Absolutely.
And especially the starters, and especially the playmakers.
He wants to see if they don't blink, Doran.
If they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
How about Pickens' dad on Twitter? Do you see this?
No.
During the game, end of the game, Dallas beat the Steelers with Dak throwing two interceptions. This offense don't play to win. They try to play not to lose. He spelled lose wrong. A lot of people do that. Loose. I watched the Ravens and Bengals today. Sheesh, we got to be better.
Mm.
It's percolating.
Mm.
It's ruminating. It's bubbling. Do you bench him? Do you trade him? Do you get him involved early in this game? All things we will discuss in the next segment. And Mike Tomlin discussed George Pickens' potential replacement, weirdly enough, in the press conference yesterday. We'll get to that at some point in the hour. The Penguins open their season today. Much to do. Not a lot of time to do it. We're going 1,000 miles an hour this morning.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I think it's all of us. I think when you stay on schedule, you position yourself to do that. When you're not highly penalized, you position yourself to do that. Sometimes big plays are born out of the execution of others. If you hit a big play, if we hit that play to Connor down the sideline, maybe we're more fortunate moving forward. You know, we're just going to keep working. We're not going to make a big deal out of it. We feel like we're in the right neighborhood, knocking on the right doors. Sometimes getting the desired result doesn't necessarily mean change. It simply means continued focus. And that's where I am in terms of some of the explosion play discussions.
So Mike Tomlin pivots off of what do you do to keep Pickens more involved too? Well, we were close to hitting a few explosion plays. We're in the right neighborhood, Doran. Knocking on the right doors. I mean, they were close to hitting what may have been a touchdown to Connor Hayward. You had a big play down the sideline to Van Jefferson where he dropped the ball. I think Pickens had a chance at catch and run on that third and four. I think he's probably getting at least 10 more yards there. So you did have some opportunities. You had Darnell Washington middle of the field. That was probably the worst throw from Justin Fields. And then if you look at the all 22, and I'm not pretending like I did it myself, but you see some people going over it on the Twitter. I mean, there's open guys on some play action concepts that Fields missed, or there was pressure on a play. So it is an all 11 kind of thing, but let's stick with Pickens here. Assuming they don't bench him for the game or anything like that, do you go out of your way to get him more involved early?
Yeah, because he's basically the only playmaker.
That's the thing.
Like, if you want to win, yeah, I would go not out of my way, but it would be a focal point, like, in my game plan this week is to get him. But, like, why isn't that every week?
Yeah, that should be the game plan regardless of his attitude.
So, but, like, if he does play and they do target him, say, like, 12 times or something like that, and he does have a good game, and where's the load management talk? So, like, which way are we going? Like, is he going to play the whole entire game this week now? Like, what are we doing with what we saw last week?
Right, you pulled back on the reins on him.
At home, on primetime.
And then you're going to go on the road to Las Vegas, and he's going to play 100% of the snaps? That's not exactly going to jive with the load management thing, although I'm guessing if that's what happens, Tom will be asked in the postgame what happened to the load management of George Pickens, and his answer will be something like, oh, we played him less in that moment so we can play him more in this moment, right. Which is just nonsense. I do think they're going to try to get him involved early and often. That should be the game plan every single week. It's why I don't love benching players. If you've got AB and you've got Le'Veon Bell and you've got one of the best ass-kicking offensive lines in the National Football League and Martavis Bryant's being a jerk, you can bench him because you're still going to be able to put up points.
Right.
If you bench George Pickens, Van Jefferson's wide receiver one, no thank you. That's not fair to the other 52 guys. Now, at the same time, him running out there half-assing it ain't fair to the other 52 guys, but I got to play him and I got to use him because he's that good. My big concern, though, is, Dorn, I don't know that it satiates him. Like, you throw him the ball a lot, I don't know if it satisfies him. I think it takes one bad series or a bad quarter, and he flies off the handle again. Case in point, his best game of the season statistically was the Colts game. 7 catches, 113 yards. You come out the next game, and he's running routes at 60, 70%. Come on now. You just had your big game. And some of the numbers in the other games are actually misleadingly low. He would have had over 100 yards and potentially a touchdown against the Falcons if there wasn't a penalty on a play. There's another play down the sideline against Denver where he gets interfered with by the corner there that could have been huge. There's the one that gets called back due to penalty. Like, his statistics would be better if not for some of these penalties, and his best game was against the Colts, and he comes out immediately next week, and he's moping, and he's got bad attitude, and people are leaving him on the bench, and he's laying there with his shoulders slumped after having the best game of the season. This, to me, is a guy who can never be satisfied.
Did he take that eye black off? I know that we're going to talk a little bit more about it, but does anybody know if he ever took that off or did he keep it on? Because that might be, I mean, you know how he shuts down. He probably got yelled at by Azani, his receiver coach, like, take that off. Then they probably went back and forth. He either kept it on and then was upset that he got challenged to take it off, or he had to take it off and he was upset that he had to take it off. And that's probably what happened.
He got mad about the eye black thing.
Probably. I mean, think about it. Guy gets in his head a lot.
I don't know if he took it off or not because he wears the visor, you know? He looks pretty cool, which is also kind of a goofy reason to wear eye black whenever you got a visor on. You can barely see it anyway.
Eye black doesn't work.
What?
Eye black doesn't work.
What do you mean? Doesn't take the glare away?
No. Just looks good.
I've always been fascinated by eye black. I want to come in here and do a show. Do you have eye black? Put it on?
Yeah.
Sons put it on?
Mm-hmm.
I think we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I want to put it on and see if it reduces the glare here of the studio lights, but you're telling me it won't.
No.
But I'll look cool.
Yeah, you think it's more like psychological.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it on. It's going to say always bleeping talking. That's what the texters say anyhow. Shut up, Crowley. Speaking of which, you can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So we're both on. We're both on the same page. You can't bench the guy, right?
Yeah, like, no. No, because, I mean, you're doing a disservice to your team.
I am guessing that Mike Tomlin did lay into him about, in particular, the penalty on Jordan Lewis at the end of the game. The petulant face mask grab, throwing him down, which I still think is funny. I think it's a bad look. When you're a losing team and you didn't play well and you weren't working hard and you drop a ball on third down that could have changed the game and you're ticked off and you pull a dude down by his face mask who's talking trash, that is such a bad look.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you Tomlin said something to him. I do think Tomlin is harder on some guys than the media gives him credit for. Now, will it do anything? I don't know. Nathan, first up today. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Doing great, man. How about you?
Well, listen, I'm working, and, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about was with Tomlin talking about load management, this is the guy that famously said, when it came to running backs, he was going to ride them until the wheels fell off.
Yes.
So, I mean, which is it? Are you going to ride them until the wheels fall off, or are you going to...
Well, he has changed in that regard. And thank you so much for the call, Nathan. I should have taken you next segment because we were short on time here. Tomlin has evolved there with the timeshare at the running back position. Now, would that be the case if he had a player as good as Le'Veon Bell or Willie Parker? Or honestly, even for a brief period of time, Rashard Mendenhall,
but
I don't know.
You can do that whenever you just said it, whenever you have a stable of running backs that the production won't fall off.
Right. I mean,
does Mike Tomlin really truthfully think that if George Pickens is not in the game that Scotty Miller and Van Jefferson can equal the production of George being on one side?
You're right, man. That's a very good point by you. That analogy is bad because for this team, he is that star player. We talked about it on Monday. He's not an upper echelon receiver in the league. But for them, he's by far the best offensive weapon that they've got. So you manage his load. And I've said this 100 times. And now bad players are playing more. So stupid. It's ridiculous. It's not happening. But if it were happening, it would be stupid and ridiculous. May he be replaced? Jason LaConfora, Odyssey NFL Insider, was on with us yesterday. And he said he wouldn't rule out a potential George Pickens trade. Funnily enough, Mike Tomlin talked about his potential replacement in his press conference yesterday. What did Tomlin say? We discuss next. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We love these guys. We're super proud of this. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
Obviously, they got talented people to distribute the ball to. I don't know the status of Davante Adams, but if I'm talking about eligibles, I better start there. You know, we had our issues with him a year ago. Thankfully, it didn't determine the outcome of the game, but it just speaks to the type of dynamic player he is and the way that he can explode in a game, not only in terms of volume of catches, but what he does with it after the catch. He's just got a well-rounded football game, route running, hand selection, late hands, combat catching, you name it. He does it all at a really high level.
Davante Adams last year against the Steelers had 13 catches for 172 yards and 2 touchdowns. Woo! Decent.
Yep.
Probably not going to play in this game. Neither is their defensive tackle, who's very good. Now, last week, the Steelers had some injury luck, took on the Dallas Cowboys, that Micah Parsons or DeMarcus Lawrence, that didn't help. Christian Wilkins going to be out indefinitely. He's going to be out this weekend. He's a really good player, free agent acquisition for them. But let's talk more about Davante Adams, who is still at his not quite advanced age, but getting up there-ish. One of the better receivers in the entire National Football League, and we had Jason LaConfora on yesterday. He said the Steelers are going to be aggressive there. He said the Steelers are probably going to look to acquire multiple receivers, and he also said he wouldn't rule out the possibility of a George Pickens trade. I don't think I'd be surprised by it. I wouldn't bet on it happening, Doran. I don't think he's going to be a Steeler next year, Pickens, if it keeps going down this path, but I can't rule it out. How could you? They did it to Chase Claypool. They did it this offseason to Deontay Johnson. And yesterday while you were gone, I nicknamed George Pickens Deontay Pickens. You like that one?
There you go.
Nice. Yeah, I can't rule it out, Dorn. I don't know how you could.
No. I mean, it kind of makes sense a little bit in a way. I mean, just kind of, you know, how they operated on Sunday. And, you know, at first I was like, yeah, that's kind of not the point. The point is to have another receiver alongside of George Pickens, but maybe that they're just going to totally revamp that whole entire room during the season. They kind of need to.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of need to. So I don't know who the plethora of receivers would be. I don't know which names would fall into that. But if you get Davante Adams, like, if you just get Davante Adams for George, is that it? Or are they still going to look for another number two? Or are they going to just look for, like, a bunch of number two or threes?
That's a great point. Because if you get Davante Adams and you lose George Pickens, you're not in that much different of a space. You would feel better about the headspace of your current number one wide receiver than you do with Pickens. But as far as between the white lines, yeah, you've upgraded at one spot, but then you still got Van Jefferson as your two and Scotty Miller and Calvin Austin the third. And my God, can we please see Roman Wilson at some point? It doesn't change your depth issue at all. You're going to look like a similar outfit whenever you're scheming the Steelers. Okay, let's take away Davante Adams. Just like right now, hey, let's take away George Pickens. We'll let the other guys beat us.
Mm-hmm.
So in an ideal world, you have both guys. Ben Roethlisberger says he thinks the Steelers would be a Super Bowl caliber team with Adams and Pickens. I don't know if I'd go that far. Perhaps a division championship kind of team. And then you take your swings in the playoffs and see what happens. That Diana Russini reports that Pickens could be had, that Jason LaConfora says he leaves the door open for such a thing to happen, does have me thinking that they've at least thought about this.
Yes.
And I just put up a Twitter poll, Doran. PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Twitter poll, trustpj.com. Will George Pickens be a Steeler in 2025? Also, I want to make sure I get this right here. Zach Smith, so he works for Steelers now with Alan Saunders. He tweeted yesterday, take this for what it's worth, I think he does good work. He said that he's been told by a couple of people that the Steelers don't view Adams as a rental and would be trying to sign him for multiple years if they acquire him. Now, we know there are years still left on his deal. It would be a restructuring kind of thing. He doesn't have any money guaranteed. So you could view him as a rental if you wanted to, but he says the Steelers aren't looking at him like that.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense.
It does make a ton of sense. If they did acquire Davante Adams, I think that answers the Twitter poll, though. If they don't view him as a rental, that means they're going to have to pay him $25, $30 million a season. They're not paying Pickens and Adams $25 to $30 million.
No.
That's not happening.
No.
And if they're already thinking about that, as I stretch this thing out, they're probably viewing Pickens as a guy who's not going to be here in 2025. They were going to pay Brandon Ayuk all that money. We should have seen it back then. The writing was on the wall. They were never going to pay. I don't care who the receivers are. They're not paying $230. Not when they view how they evaluate and draft wide receivers as favorably as they do. Like, they have to have a lot of confidence in their ability to do that. So, yeah, I just don't think Pickens is going to be around next year.
I don't think he's going to be around this year.
Well, then as I stretch it out even further, right, if you're not going to be around next year and there's a Davante Adams out there, why would he be around for the rest of this year when you're managing his load?
Yeah, during a primetime game against the Dallas Cowboys.
With the world to see, and that is such a good point by you, Dorn. A lot of people watch all of these games, but we're talking Sunday Night Football. I just saw it scrolling through my Twitter. 20 million people have watched each of the Sunday Night Football games this year. 20 million people. You can't hide that you've reduced a guy's snap count when the entire football world is watching. And Tomlin's a smart enough guy to know that. 412-928-9370. Back into Steelers talk coming up at 7, but the Penguins dropped the puck on their 2024-2025 season tonight. What do we think is going to happen to the Penguinos this year? We'll tell you coming up next. Tyler Kennedy at 8:35. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get into the Steelers quarterback situation. Mike Tomlin, at least to my ear, made it seem like Justin Fields will be the guy this week again. Would not rule out seeing Russell Wilson at some point during the game on Sunday, though. So we'll dive into that head first at 7 o'clock, and you can join us on that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. But real quick here, man, hockey's upon us. What's funny?
No, your accent.
Real quick here, man, it just feels like they just stopped playing. That always happens with hockey. Season's over, season starts, and it used to be because they'd play until June.
Mm.
Hadn't been that way for a while. They've been playing their last games in April, and that sucks. Can they be good this year? They've retooled the bottom six with guys like Rutger McGroarty, and they got Puljujarvi, and they add Hayes and Glass, and Noel Achari's going to be healthy, and you add Anthony Beauvillier, who we talked to yesterday. Very nice man,
nice.
Doran.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I wonder if he caught the Bad Monkey finale last night. He said he was going to watch that, which I heard is a very funny show.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretended like I've seen it before with Anthony, but I actually haven't.
No, of course not.
So you've added a lot of pieces here, but they're all secondary pieces. But that, to me, is what needed to change, that and the power play. The bottom six hasn't scored for 2 years. And I thought that Kyle Dubas in his press conference the other day did a good job of explaining that you need more from the bottom six. And you need to defend hard in the bottom six, but that's all they've been able to do for the last couple of years. Now they expect and hope that this group can chip in. I don't know, man. I'm cautiously optimistic about that element of the team. But to me, it's very simple. Does your goaltending stay healthy? Does it play well? And can you score a goal on the power play when you need one?
Mm-hmm.
How many leads did they blow last year?
Oh, what, over 20? Or
a ton.
Yeah.
A ton.
A lot.
A ton. And you'd like to clamp down defensively so that doesn't happen, but maybe an extra power play goal or two. Getting a goal when you need it, extending a lead, and you don't blow so many leads. That, to me, is the crux of the season. You were 29th in the league in power play percentage. Can you get middle of the pack? If you do, I think you got a chance to make the playoffs.
Well, we all know how long a hockey season is and the roller coasters of a hockey season. And whenever you get hot, you get hot. And whenever you're not so hot, it's all about the timing. And I feel like the past couple years that they didn't make the playoffs, and they are basically one or two games short of the playoffs. We always talked about looking back on games like tonight. Or games next week, or games in November. It's like, oh, well, it's a long season. You know, they'll find their stride at some point, but you always look back at that one game where they did lose early on in the season, or those games that they lost early on in the season, and like that came back to bite them. Like, if they're going to be a decent hockey team that's going to compete in the playoffs, they have to win the games early, too.
Yes, they do.
And that's not real. You know, usually it's like more of, okay, like let's get our momentum closer to playoff time, maybe a month before, and then see where we're at. Like, nah, it's important for this team to start off fast.
You're right, man. Because each of the last couple of years, and last year in particular, they did get hot down the stretch.
Yes.
But it wound up being too little too late. It was the classic conversation. Oh, are the Penguins the team that nobody wants to see? No, they're the team that nobody's going to get to see because they shot themselves in the foot early. That's a really good point by you. And I would add to that, I think, that Crosby's not young. Malkin's not young. Letang's not young. Carlson's not young. Those are your four best players, or should be. It's tough to play 82 games, no matter what. It's a physical sport. Travels hard. Back-to-backs. You'd think they're at their best right now.
Mm-hmm.
So get some wins right now. It's a really good point by you. Missed the playoffs by 1 point last year.
Year before, same.
3 points the year before.
3 points, okay, yeah.
Or I might have reversed it, but 1 point.
Came
one
out of the Chicago game 2 years ago.
Yes. That they played well but didn't score.
Yeah.
Seen that one before. So I'm not going to pick them to make the playoffs, Doran, because the talking points leading in the last season. They had an average power play the year before. You add Carlson. Okay, if that average power play becomes a great power play, you make the playoffs. Not only did it not become great, it was probably the worst in the league. Third worst by percentage, but with the talent they have, that's the worst power play in the league. If they would have been average last year, if they would have just been bad instead of dreadful, they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think, and I said this at this exact same time yesterday, the premise is correct, but I'm not going to believe that until I start seeing the puck go in the net.
Yes.
And overtime. 11 overtime losses last year. You win one or two of those games, you're in the playoffs. They didn't practice it last year.
It's crazy.
That is dereliction of duty.
Yes.
Practice it this year, win a few more games. I don't think the East is so good that you're not going to be able to make the playoffs if you improve in those two areas, but you've got to improve in those two areas. I don't know that they will. Mike Sullivan's still the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you get rid of Todd Reirden and you bring in Dan Quinn, and so there's going to be changes, fair enough. But Mike Sullivan's been the guy calling the shots and running the show, and he's still there. So I don't know that the overtime thing in particular is going to change, but we shall see. More on the Penguins?
Yes.
With Tyler Kennedy coming up at 8:35. Coming up next, Mike Tomlin actually shed a little bit of light on the quarterback situation. Who's going to start? Well, I think I know. I think we know. We'll talk about it next. But first, fan weather. Brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Almost threw it to Callis there. 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.